Now, Greg and I, we don't go way back, but we go a fair way back. So we work together in a different sphere of ministry. And it's amazing to see the good things that God has done through Greg and Kim's ministry, and in particular, what God's doing through them with the Gideons. So without further ado, I'll hand over to you, Greg. And I think you're really going to get something out of this as we see the good things that Jesus is up to.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Doug. And hello, everybody. It is a great pleasure to be here with you today, my wife Kim and I. I can't say we've travelled a long way to get here. We live in Lux Street, just around the corner. So it was lovely to have a 1.5 minute drive to church this morning. But did you notice those two readings this morning? The first one was David saying, God, you have made such a difference in my life. And the Hebrews passage saying, God's word cuts cleanly through. It cuts out the rubbish and it releases the good. So what I want to talk to you this morning is a little bit about the Gideon's ministry, but also to emphasize to you that God's word changes lives. And it doesn't just change your life when you give your life to him. It continually changes your life, which is why I chose that psalm to be read. You know, you think David, you know, born into a reasonably powerful family and his walk with the Lord, yet he says, you are the one who has made all the difference. Now, I want to start with a testimony of a person who has been impacted by the Gideon's ministry. We see them all the time, and it really does our heart good. I could tell you about a testimony of a young atheist soldier in South Africa who was given a New Testament as part of his kit in the Namibian War back about 15 years ago, and how that changed his life. I could tell you about a street kid in Sydney who received a Bible and at his worst point of drug addiction opened up the scriptures and God's word cut through. But I want to tell you quickly a story about a lady called Aisha. And when I saw her testimony, it was a video recorded testimony, this one, because she lives in Central Europe. But when I saw this, I was profoundly impacted. Because all my life I've worked in schools and in education, basically with some of the kids for whom life is the toughest. All right, so for many years, both Kim and I taught, and I was a principal in Woodridge in Brisbane, where life is very, very hard for many kids. So this testimony really impacted me when I heard it. So this young lady, well, she was young at the point that this began, Aisha, was born into a very dysfunctional family. She was the last of a long line of children. She felt completely unwanted and unloved. And her parents reminded her that she was such a nuisance for most of her childhood. Tragically, during her childhood, she was abused in all kinds of ways. And both parents were lost into a world of alcoholism and drug addiction. So you can imagine that age about 12 or 13, she chose to live on the street herself because it was a much easier place to be. On the street, of course, that's the step into all kinds of strife, as you would appreciate. And she got caught up in the drug culture and alcohol and all the other abuses that young women have to go through to survive on the streets. During her later adolescence and into her middle teenage years, she began to experience a whole lot of mental health issues. I'm not sure that anyone would be surprised with the background that she had. But she descended very quickly into a mental health episode after episode. It got so bad that at one point she attempted to take her own life, and she wasn't successful only because she was rescued off the street. When she came to, she found herself in an institution for those with mental health problems and heavily medicated and totally miserable. A few days after entering that institution, she was sectioned for a period of time, which meant that she didn't actually know when she would ever be allowed out of this institution. And on top of that came a forecast from her psychiatrist that she was significantly schizophrenic and that she would probably never, ever be any different. When she heard this, I saw her giving this testimony. There were tears running down her face, but her face was absolutely beaming. But she said that when she had that pronouncement from the medical person, that she would probably never leave the institution and that she was significantly damaged, she collapsed and fell to the floor. She came to consciousness, she says, tells the story. She came to consciousness sometime later in a hospital bed, a bed she didn't normally sleep in. She didn't know where she was. She thought, how could my life get any worse? She turned and looked at the bedside table, and on the bedside table was a Bible. Now, I'm very grateful to God that he put Psalms in the middle of the Bible, because if you open the Bible up, you're generally going to get Psalms smack in the middle. So when she did, she read these words, and I've stepped out of my order, Psalm 38, verse 21. This is the thing that she read in her anxiety and in her great grief. You are the Lord God, stay nearby and don't desert me. You are the one who saves me. Please hurry and help. Now, someone had placed that Bible in that hospital ward, and someone had placed that Bible on the table where she could see it by the work of the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit used the Word of God to change her life. She tells the story that she then said, God, if you are there to help me, please do it, because otherwise my life is not worth living and I'm going to end it. And she was changed from that moment on. And the testimony that I heard given was her talking in a car as she was driving to a new church to tell her story and to minister to the grace and the goodness of God. So God's word, as we know in Hebrews 4, that passage says, God's word's alive and powerful, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. The word can cut through our spirits, cut through our souls, through our joints and marrow, until it discovers the desires and thoughts of our hearts. Now, it isn't just people like Aisha who live on the street who need the word of God. You and I need the word of God to cut through in our lives every day. Every day that we live and breathe, every day that we see a call to our ministry. You may think that Aisha's testimony is fairly extreme, and I guess in some ways it is. But I guess I don't need to tell you that there's a lot of hurting people out there in our country. Do you know that from January 2022 till the end of to December 2023, 963 people reached the point that Aisha reached and end their lives? So that's almost 1,000 people in 2 years. That's more than 18 people a week around our country who hit rock bottom, and they reach that terrible conclusion. But as if that's not bad enough, the statistics around people who just disappear from their lives is astonishing. Between that same period of time, there were 494 people formally listed as missing and believed by police to have walked away from their lives. They weren't missing because they were presumed dead. They were missing because they could not bear their life 1 minute longer and walked away from the people they love. Now, it's getting scriptures to people like this that really motivates us in the work of Gideon's. And I will spend a little bit of time later on talking to you about some of the things that we do. That's what motivates us to be in the Gideon's. It's a ministry that helps people like Kim and myself to grow in our faith. During the week, we pray together with other Gideons. We pray for your pastor. We pray for every church on a roster through this area. So the men get online, some are sitting in their cars, talking on their phones, some are in their homes on their laptops, but we all join together once a week to pray for this area and to pray for the pastors and the churches of this area and to pray for the distribution of scriptures that we are up to. Gideons, they're made up of a whole group of men and women of professional and business backgrounds. Generally, we meet for fellowship to grow, to train in how to personally witness. We run programs to help people understand how you can witness in a natural way to people around you, how you can distribute scriptures. And the main thing, of course, is trying to put Bibles into the hands of people. I'd like you to watch this first video clip, please, if you would. And it helps to explain why Kim and I are part of Gideon's.
It is absolutely true that there is nothing more powerful, nothing more life-changing than the gospel. When people come and share a testimony, their lives changed, they are filled with just such thanks and joy that they got given one of these little books.
Well, I had been an atheist, a very vocal and aggressive one throughout high school. But when I got to year 12, with the pressure of the HSC, I began to question life and its meaning and purpose. I would wake up in the middle of the night, was convinced that the world was going to end, and it was that dreadful fear of death that really drove me to search for answers.
The Gideons came to school and I was hostile to the visit. They were taking up my class time and I thought spreading fairy tales amongst the kids. But I must have been touched by what they said somewhere in my soul, because I took one of their red testaments and I put it on my shelf and it stayed there for 6 or 7 years untouched.
Gideons are all over the world.
In 200 countries, there are over 270,000. And last year, close to 90 million copies of God's Word were distributed in over 100 languages.
These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name.
And I remembered that I had a Gideon's New Testament that I'd been given in year 7 of Scripture. And out of desperation, I grabbed that and I began to read it every night. And learning about Jesus, I trusted him as my saviour in July of 1985.
I went through this traumatic period in my life and I thought my life was ruined and beyond repair, and I was actually considering suicide. And I said, God, I'm going to believe in you and pray to you for a month, and you've got a month to show me the goods. And that's when I took the Gideon's Red Testament home, and I thought they were exactly the words I needed someone to say to me, so reassuring. And I thought, is this real? Could God be real? I just instantly understood that Jesus is what everybody is searching for. And here I was, I'd found him. I'd mocked him all my adult life, and yet he yanked me out of this dark place.
Well, it's transformed my life completely, from someone that had no hope to someone that has every hope. I now have a family, a ministry. It's as if you've lived in a dark room for 17 years. Stumbling about in the dark, and someone just turned the light on and everything made sense.
Wherever the word of God is sown, the church truly does reap a harvest. We would love to come and share with pastors and churches all around the country what God is doing today. This is a 21st century ministry.
You have a witness there that you probably would receive in no other way. There are people that, like myself, would never have darkened the door of a church. And in that sense, I don't know of any other ministry that does what Gideon's do.
So being in Gideon's is a partnership.
It is absolutely
for us.
True.
Our partnership, husband and wife, usually in a team approach. So I'm just going to ask him to just share quickly with you a couple of things about Gideon's and about the work she does.
Hi, everyone. So Gideon started with only men. It was travelling salesmen in 1899 in the United States who got together and said, we need to help each other while we're out on the road to stay focused and to stay true to our faith. So they decided to start this network. Pretty soon, God had other plans. He had plans for them to leave a witness of their faith in the motels that they stayed in. And so the work grew and changed and over the years, and they realised that their wives had a really big part to play too. So they became an organised part of the Gideons, and we call ourselves the Auxiliary. And our mission is, number one, to help our husbands to do the work that they do. So we pray for them. We pray with each other. All the wives of the Gideons meet together and pray. And then we also go out and we distribute scriptures in hospitals, in waiting rooms, in medical centres and in nursing homes and all sorts of places that it's not so good for the men to go to. So it's the women's side of things. We have seven spiritual objectives that we try and follow all the time. We say we are women of the book, we are women of faith, we're women of prayer, we're women of a separated walk. That's a bit old-fashioned language, but it means that we are separated to God. We are women of a compassionate heart, and we are women who witness, and we are women who give. So there is a little, what's it called, pamphlet? Yep, that's out there on the table about the Gideons. So if about the Auxiliary, I'm sorry, so that if women want to encourage their men to join, this will give you an idea of what it is.
Thanks, Kim. We're only a young couple. We're going to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary next May. I can't believe where that 50 years has gone. We have a range of Bibles. Is the student Bible that we give out. Do you know we have been into every state high school from Stanthorpe and Wollongarra up to Quinilow and offered these to year sevens? And thousands of kids have these available to them. Now, we know that many of them won't read them there and then. We occasionally rescue the odd one out of the rubbish bin as we leave. We know that it's not necessarily for that moment, but as you heard on the testimony on the screen, it is the Word of God, and when it's the right moment, they will turn to it. We also go to the university twice a year to talk to the young people at the orientation weeks, and these are the testaments that we pass out to them. But more recently, we've also noticed that there are a lot of Arabic-speaking students coming to this university. In fact, the students who are residential in this university rather than online are very often foreign students. So we have Chinese students who know nothing of God, who know nothing of faith, who are taking scriptures. We hand out it in various languages. This is the Arabic copy that we give to folks from the Middle East. These are the medical testaments that we share. Now, all these testaments have Psalms and Proverbs and the New Testament in them. In the front, there's a couple of pages of, quick, where do I find what I need to know if I'm feeling sad, if I'm feeling bullied, if I'm feeling, whatever the emotion is that they're going through, and scripture references for them. And then, of course, in the back, and this is what we do when we do personal witnessing particularly, is we point people to the prayer for salvation, and it's in the back as well. So that having read that or having been told about it, you might want to consider actually being part of this faith. You may want to be saved by Jesus, and so we use that. The ladies give these out as personal testaments to people that they meet. Kim gives them to various people in coffee shops and in shops and all over the place. She didn't mention those. We have a blue version that we carry with us as well, that we give out personal workers' testaments. These are the Old Testament, sorry, these are the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs in big letters, so that's obviously for nursing homes, places like that. Otherwise, it's identical to the small ones. If you've travelled around the country and you've stayed in a motel, you've probably seen one of these. This year, between the two Gideon camps, east and west, we knocked on the doors of every motel in town in the 2 months leading up to the carnival, and in about 60% of them we were able to place either fresh new copies, because they had old copies, or copies for the first time in motels here in Toowoomba. So in your prayers, please pray that God's word will make a difference in the lives of people. I want to just share briefly a message, a scripture message now with you. And as I said, the theme is the word of God changes lives. It's changed mine. It continues to change mine. I'm sure it has changed yours, and I'm sure it will continue to change yours. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, we hear these words: "This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength." Wow, how good is that? How good is that to know that weak me can depend on a strong God? God's weakest plans are stronger than any I can come up with. 1 Corinthians 26 says, helps us to stop worrying about trying to fix ourselves and tells us to turn to God for that help and that he's ready to give. So 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. So God chooses to turn us around and to show ourselves, our family, our community, we can be better. We can live better lives, be forgiven for all the silly things in our lives." Now, I'm not here to guilt you this morning, and please do not take it that way, but I now want to talk about how much of the scripture do you know and how much of the scripture do you read routinely, and are you giving that two-edged sword the opportunity to make a change in your life? I want to talk about four things about how Scripture is pivotal to our lives and to our growth as Christians. The first point I want to make is by reading the Bible, getting stuck in yourself, it will build your relationship with Christ. You know, we come to church and we have fellowship and we worship together and that's all wonderful. But that's an hour and a half on a Sunday. And there are 6.5 other days in the week when we can have access to our Lord Jesus through the scriptures. Reading the Bible helps us to know Christ better. It strengthens our love, our faith, our relationship with Jesus. The Bible is life-giving and it changes you. John 1:1 tells us that the Word was there at the very beginning. The Word was Jesus. The Word was God. There is great hope when we lean on the fact that there's power in the Bible. Although it's a difficult concept, it's absolutely true that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Scriptures are all interconnected with each other. When you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit directs you to make connection with God. It can even feel like someone is talking directly to you through the anointed words that you are reading. And I'm sure there are some in the congregation today who've read a scripture passage and it's jumped out and grabbed them. And they know this is God. My encouragement to you is don't miss those 6.5 days of the week diving into the scripture. The second thing that I would say to you about diving into your Bibles is that it sustains us through hard times. When everything's good, we don't think about God nearly so much. And many things in our life are very hard to understand. Sometimes marriage or other relationship difficulties can really challenge us. The challenges of parenthood, the challenges of managing your grief and loss, all of those things are so difficult, but the scripture is there to help and sustain you. When Aisha opened that scripture to that Psalm 38, and she looked at those words, those words were there for her at that moment in time to change her life. What words are sitting in here during the week this week? Just waiting to change your life. So it sustains us through hard times. Particularly spend time wandering through the Psalms if you're struggling, because you realise a few things. First of all, you realise the psalmist is just like me, that the psalmist was struggling. Sometimes the psalmist felt like God was a long way off. But when you get to the end of the psalm, you are reminded that God is sovereign and you are dependent on him. Put your faith in him and all will be well. Now, we're all creatures of habit. Have a little think. Are you sitting in the same place that you sat last week or the week before? All right. Did you have the same breakfast this morning that you normally have on a Sunday morning? I see some shaking heads. Wow, you're astonishing. Because I know I do. Even silly things like when I shave, I start on this side and finish on this side. We are creatures of habit. Billy Graham once said, "Read your Bible daily. Do not be content to skim through a chapter merely to satisfy your conscience. Hide the word of God in your heart. It comforts, guides, and corrects and encourages. All we need is there." This is a habit too, and it's probably the best habit you can get into in your week. Paul said of the church at Berea these words, and we find it in Acts 17:11. He says of the people at Berea, he says of the people at Eastgate, he says of the people of St. Bart's, maybe, I hope so, I pray so, but he says in Acts 17, verse 11, to the church at Berea, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." So daily diving in, let the word of God make the difference you know I need in my life this week. My third point, the Bible affirms over and over to us that God cares for you, and the Bible brings to us a supernatural peace, a peace we cannot find in any other way. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds." John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." The Bible is the source of our wisdom. The Bible is the source of our peace. How often we feel unsettled. How often we feel concerned. I do every time I watch the 7 o'clock at news at night. By the time I've watched half an hour of the news, I'm so miserable because it's such bad news. Where can I go to get the antidote? The Word of God. So the Bible affirms that God cares for us and brings us peace. It brings us strength. I wonder, are you feeling a little weak today? I certainly was earlier in the week. We had a very tough funeral to go to yesterday, and I thought, this is going to be awful. But when we got there, it was God-honoring, and we could celebrate the life of a great believing man. So all my fear and concerns in the lead-up to yesterday were for nothing. Philippians 4:3 says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Are you fearful? Are you anxious? Is anxiety an issue for you? It is for very many people. Isaiah 41:10 has a word for you there. "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God." Do you feel like a failure, perhaps? Exodus 15:2 has a message to you. "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God. and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The greatest benefit of studying the Bible is the stronger connection and relationship with Jesus. Fourth and finally then, the last reason I want to talk about today for encouraging myself and you to spend more time in the Word is that it solidifies our relationship with Christ. It builds our trust, and it's the manual we use to develop the transformed identity we need to have in him, and we find out our godly purpose for our life. Do you know, one of the biggest competitors for our reading the Bible today, I think, is social media. Harvard Medical School explains a little bit why we all get so stuck and hung up on our Insta and our Facebook and our TikTok and all of the other things. And I see it so much around me. We recently had 2 weeks at the beach, and blow me down, sitting on the beach, what were most people doing? Looking at their phones. We go for coffee. Were people talking? No, most people were on their phones. Harvard says social media has a reinforcing nature. Using it activates the brain's reward center by releasing dopamine, a feel-good chemical. The platforms are designed to be addictive, so you chase that feel-good chemical. And you keep coming back despite the fact that it is harmful to you. In America, they say 69% of all adults and 81% of teens spend a significant time every day on social media. It puts a whole lot of us at risk for stress and tension and anxiety. Social media is powerful. It clearly has negative results. But the power found in the Word of God is stronger and leads to positive results. It's not going to harm you. It's only going to help you. Can I urge you this afternoon, tomorrow, when you are drawn to your phone, could I ask you to consider spending a short time reading the Word of God? Ephesians 6:17 says, we are to take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Relationship with Jesus is the most significant thing we can have in our lives. So I hope those scriptures and those words encourage you, don't make you feel bad. Understand, I have no intention to make anyone feel guilty. I went for years barely reading the scriptures. And my life is different because I have chosen to do things differently. In conclusion, can I show you the last video, please?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes.
I'm a Gideon because I just love to share the Word of God with people and see them come to Christ. God will lead you to people who are hungry and thirsty.
These days I just keep some New Testaments in my bag, and if I'm out at the shops with the kids or whatever, just the people that you run into in your day-to-day life.
We have to be part of the community, but at some point we need to tell them about Jesus.
The need and opportunity has never been greater.
I'm a Gideon because I believe the Bible is the most important book ever written. The question isn't so much why I'm a Gideon. The question is, why aren't there more Gideons? It's the only thing of eternal significance, and God puts his word and uses it in such amazing and wonderful ways. If God can use Balaam's donkey, he can use me.
It was definitely from God. The guy lives about 10-15 k's away from where I grew up. So I showed him the back page. I said, you know, this is basically the framework of Christianity. Yeah, he was quite open to it, which is great.
If what you believe is not right, would you want to know? And she said, yeah. And so I turned to the back page of the New Testament, and we went through the verses, asked her to read them out and to explain what they meant to her. She started engaging with a young lady, and she led her to the Lord.
The Gideons are seizing this moment. People are getting saved, and now's your chance to get on board. with organized teams, trained and prepared, sharing Jesus without fear.
And I said, can I give you a free gift? And she said, oh yeah, I'd like a little Bible, thank you.
I want people to know that there is hope. Jesus is in that wonderful book that we have. I want them to have the book so they can find out about Jesus.
The structure of Gideon's has given me the confidence and the ability to be able to start those conversations with people.
Both witnessing to people in the streets and making sure that as many people as possible have the opportunity to receive a copy of the Word of God themselves.
By sharing Jesus, we're building up the church, and we're just simple men and women of God who are endeavouring to do this.
Doug, you'll be very pleased to know, doesn't take the place of church. In fact, you cannot be a Gideon or an auxiliary within the Gideons, a man or woman, unless you are already signed off by your pastor as a faith-filled, believing Christian committed to the local church. So you'll find in every church in Toowoomba, there will be somebody who is a Gideon. But there are not enough of us. We are aging in this camp on Toowoomba West and in Toowoomba East. And we would love to see more people join us. It is the kind of ministry that you can do when you can do it. The pressure is not on to actually get out there every day and do stuff. But you may be able to go to a school with one of us. You may be able to take Bibles down the street with one of us at some occasion. You may be able to put Bibles in a motel. You may be able to witness more fully because you are trained and prepared in the conversations training that we use. Can I urge you to look at the table at the back? There's my card is there, and also several other documents. There's also a Gideon's app, by the way. If you have friends who you think mightn't take a Bible, but they might download the app. The app is in, I think, 169 languages or something like that. Oh, I beg your pardon, I've just been corrected. It's way more than that. But that's something that we do a lot when we do the university Bible sharing, is we get them to download the app. It's almost instantaneous and it's free. They can go and all of a sudden the scripture is in their own language. So, and you can listen to it as well, which is how I keep up with my Bible reading, I might add. I put the app on as I drive. If I haven't had time in the morning to read, I listen for the first trip of the day. Let me pray for us all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God, and we thank you for the Saviour who is shown to us within those pages. We pray, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts about our own relationship with you, challenge our hearts about how we access your word. And Father, I pray too that you will raise up within this community and perhaps within this church those who might feel called to join Gideon's and to help. We thank you for this church. We ask your blessing to fall upon it and on the pastor and the leadership team of this church. We ask, Lord, that they will be a light in their community and that they will make a difference. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.